to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. By the way, I got a nice card from Rod and Debbie Black, Evangelist Black and Deborah. They wanted to wish every one of you a happy Thanksgiving. And thank you for praying for them. They're at Truth Baptist today. Boy, Brother Rod, there for a while, I wasn't getting any bookings. Now he's booked every Sunday. I had him preach here for that. I had to book him to get him to come to this church. They're booked almost every Sunday now. It's unreal. And I'm glad, but I miss them, you know. But keep praying for them. He's our church evangelist and going all around preaching, trying to strengthen up churches. And boy, the church cantata, Mark's working on that Christmas cantata. We're excited about that. Looking for a great cantata in December. All righty. This morning, here's the title, Brother Danny. Danny, how's the buses go today? Good? Good. Here's the title. What God wants you to do? You ever wonder what God wants you to do? I wonder what God wants me to do. I'm going to bring a message on there. The Apostle Paul asked God a question, and I'm going to work off of that question today. And Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6, what God wants you to do. And by the way, we're reading through the New Testament. And for those who want to, once you read through, these are just for people that want to do this. If you read through Matthew, through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you can do this little Bible study. And then when you go through Galatians, through Philemon, you can do this. Then I have one for the third one also, but I don't have it with me. It's up downstairs. So, some people have already done, like Marie Husted and Cheryl Hewley, they've already done some of it. Matter of fact, Cheryl's already completed all three. Man, she's the whiz kid, you know. This is not something you have to do, but just for those that want to do it. And then you get like a little certificate saying that you've done it. And all righty. That's what we're doing, and we're going to be doing that to the end of the year. And I've tried to challenge the people. And what I'm doing, I'm not asking you to do anything I'm not doing myself. And so as I'm reading through it, I'm preaching as we go by. We're preaching different thoughts that we get as we read. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Good to see you today. Now, we have some folks. I know Brother Phillip's out of town today, and some of the other folks. And you have to realize there's a lot of people right now. If Brian, in the Becca building, you probably have over 100 people in that Becca building. Probably about 15 adults trying to serve and take care of kids. And then, of course, you have people downstairs. And so people ask me how the church is doing. The church is doing great. You know, I was thinking, I could go on forever. I just love you. I was thinking about our senior program. Amen. It was packed out. Thursday. We don't even advertise it. I can't wait till the Lord gives me the money to build that new building. Yes. My age group, the baby boomers, that's the most increasing group you got now. Yeah. Do you realize when we get that building, I was telling Brother Bobby and Brother Mark and some of the other men, that ABL program, you've got a growing senior citizen population. Amen. And Tommy, we get that new building built, we could run 300 to 500 wow. senior citizens, because I can house them all in that auditorium that we're going to build. And because the first one's going to be a tri-built, a multi-purpose building. It's going to be a school, church, and fellowship and everything. And there'll be a gymnasium. We'll be working out of a gymnasium, but it'll look like a church. But we could set up, Brother Mike, we could set up 500. We could set up 700 in that gymnasium. So it's unlimited what we could do. Just keep praying the Lord sends us that money. Amen. We're not going to go in debt. God can do it. Amen. God can build that building for us. Amen? Okay. But the potential, I was talking to Brother Mark, the potential there, if the Lord doesn't come back in the next few years, the potential once that building's built. This church will mushroom. Because you'd have unlimited parking. That's our problem now. You can't hardly get a place to park here.
Yeah.
And so, once on, it's exciting. So don't give up on that. Amen?
Yeah.
All righty. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. In the Christian school. Wow. That, nothing to say about our Christian school. We're maxed out now. I can't imagine what the school would double.
Amen.
Yeah. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters. Like those letters, like warrants. Like we want to put somebody in jail. To Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he would found any on his way where they were men or women, he didn't care who they were, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Boy, that's what people need. People need to see light. See, Jesus is the light of the world. And that's what they have to see. And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. You see, Jesus is the I am of the Bible.
Amen.
God, Moses asked God in Exodus 3:14, God, what's your name? Who should I tell Israel sending me? And God told Moses back in Exodus 3:14, you tell him I am has sent you. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the resurrection of life. He's the Alpha. I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning. See, Jesus was God come down incarnate. See, men could not see God, Clara. So God put on a form of a man so people could see God. Because God's just, help me with me. He was robed with flesh. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, here's my message. What wilt thou have me to do? We ought to ask, that's a good question. We ought to be asking that of God today. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I'm going to preach off those three words. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, dear God, for loving us, and thank you for sending the light from heaven, Jesus. I pray today that light would be shown, that men might see Christ and who he really is, Savior of the world. And I pray that if there's any here that doesn't know you as Savior, today they would make a meditated, determined decision to make Christ their Savior. And Lord, we just thank you for everyone that's here. We pray that you'll bless each one. Help them over in the other programs, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What a tremendous story and account of the Apostle Paul's conversion here. This is where the Apostle Paul got saved. I know he's called Saul here. Later, God changed his name to Paul. And the reason he did change his name, by the way, if you study it and you take my book of Romans, you'll know what I taught you in the book of Romans, over in Acts 13, it says, and Saul, Paul, Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Matter of fact, if you'll look at Acts 9:15, but the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, he talked to Ananias, for he says, a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. How many see that? And so Paul's main purpose, although he loved the Jewish people and he was a Jew himself, he really wanted to reach the Jews, but God sent him out to reach the Gentiles. And the first recorded convert of Paul, the first recorded Gentile convert, was named Sergius Paulus in Acts 13. And after he led that man, Sergius Paulus, to Christ, God changed his name from Saul to Paul. And it was a reminder. There was a reminder every time he heard Paul, and he remembered of his first convert that he led to Christ, first Gentile convert, he was reminded that he was sent to the Gentiles. Amen? A constant reminder, hey, Paul, God's got a purpose for you. But look up here. God's got a purpose for every one of our lives. Every one of our lives, God's got a purpose for. And God had a purpose for Paul. He was a chosen vessel to the Gentiles. And later on, Paul realized that. And the Bible talks about how Paul says, I know I'm chosen to go to the Gentiles. Peter to the Jews, the circumcision. So what a tremendous story, though, about Brother Mark. Preachers, I'm sure you preached on it. Preachers down through the centuries have preached from Acts chapter 9, Brother Kenny, about this great conversion of this man that was ruthless, that hated Christians, that actually was, he was standing there in Acts chapter 7 and 50 over Stephen, the first recorded New Testament saint there that was killed by Paul. Paul actually gave the orders to stone Stephen. See, Paul was a murderer. He literally thought Christians were against God. And look up here. I want you to get this. See, Paul believed in God. Mike, when Paul was killing Christians and putting them in prison, he literally thought he was doing God a service. Paul is a man who thought he was serving God and found out later he was doing God a disservice. Jesus said it's hard to kick against the pricks. There you read there. And then most important, Brother Brian, not only did he find out he was doing God a disservice, he found out he didn't even know who God was. And he was serving the wrong God. Because if you're not serving Jesus Christ, you're serving the wrong God. But Paul thought he did know he knew God. And by the way, many people think they know God. Many people think they're serving God. Even in the book of Matthew, over there in chapter 7, it says, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not know you? Did I not cast out? And Jesus said, I'll never knew you. Depart from me. So, and I had a Bible study Wednesday. And I tried to show people the importance of knowing Christ as Savior. There's a lot of... The majority of the world says, oh, we believe there's a God. The Bible says you're a fool if you don't think there's a God. You can go out there and look at the stars and say that this thing didn't happen by accident. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. When you think about, you just study the human body, how we're so intricately made. You think we just happened by an accident? Boy, if you think that, buddy, I want to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge today. Really, if you're dumb, if you're stupid enough to believe that, you're stupid enough to buy the bridge off me. Amen. I'll give you the title to it right now. And but I shared with the people Wednesday. I'm going to quote these scriptures. It's not enough just to say you know that there's a God, you know there's a Creator. Matthew 11:27 says, no man, just stay there in Acts, I'm going to read these to you. Matthew 11:27, no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. What does that mean? It means this: you can't know God unless you know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you then you know God. But if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. They're two in one. You can't know God and not know Jesus. You can't know Jesus and not know God. And that's what the Bible's saying there. He that knoweth the Father knoweth the Son. He that knoweth the Son knoweth the Father. Because, for years, I didn't get saved until I was 20 years old. I was religious when I was 19. And I was a member of a Baptist church. And I was baptized. But that didn't get me to heaven. I would have died without Christ. Until I realized I was a lost sinner going to hell one night reading the Bible. I thought, oh, my lands, I'm a lost sinner. I need Christ. I got down in front of an old green couch that we paid $110 for. Me and when we first got married, I was talking to kids. There's a couple going to get married here in May. I think it was May 8th. And is it May 8th or May 6th? I did write May 8th. Amen. And I was telling them, don't go in debt. You know, the best thing you do is keep the debt ratio down. More marriages are destroyed because of debt. And I said, save up your money and buy good used stuff. And when you get married, don't worry about debts. Just be excited about it. You can buy a bag of groceries. Amen? And pay the rent. And but me and Rosie first got married, Billy, we were living at 1034 and a half Sherman Street, and I got down on my knees. For the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner. And I asked Christ to come out and save me. Boy, man, that was Mike, even though I said there was a God, that was the first time I ever met God. When I got Jesus in my heart as my Lord and Savior, that's when I knew God.
Amen.
Because, see, Jesus was God. I know it's hard to understand. I don't understand it all either. I just believe it.
Yeah.
Don't try to put God in the test tube. Just believe it. In John 14:8, I shared this with people. In John 14:8, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us." In other words, it'll satisfy us. And in verse 9, Jesus said unto Philip, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" In other words, for the kids, duh. I mean, come on. I've been with you all this time, and you still don't know who God is? Listen to me. To know God, you got to know Jesus. It's not enough to say, "I know God." I believe there's a creator. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is a one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe in this and tremble." People die and go, "Well, I believe there's a God." Well, that so does the devil. He's not going to heaven either. Here's a scripture. Dr. Brooke taught me this scripture. And it's a tremendous verse. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this: "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." Now watch. "And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You can't even get saved unless you believe there's a God. Look up here. It don't mean you're saved because you believe there's a God, but it means you can be saved. See, just believing in God makes an opportunity that you can be saved.
Right.
Because those that say there is no God, they can't be saved.
Right.
Because to know God, you got to know Jesus. How many are still with me? "He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him."
Amen.
I used to walk out of that bar every night at 2:30 only because they'd close it and kick me out. Years ago.
Yeah.
Haven't drank for almost 40 years now.
Amen.
I've not quit drinking. I've just changed fountains.
Yeah.
But I used to walk out at from the AD bar on Galena Street, and I used to look up every night, walk across the street, and get my car. It was parked at Pier 76, the old gas stations. Some of these young kids don't know what I'm talking about, Mike. And the old blue Pier, remember them? And I used to say, "God, God, I know you're up there. There's got to be more to life than this." And every night I'd say, "God, there's got to be more to life than this." See, I was seeking him. And then, wasn't too long after that, I met a little girl that was only 97 pounds, had big rollers in her hair. Her name was Rosie Cockrell. And then she took me to hear about Jesus. And of course, you know the story. Later, I got saved. But I'm going to tell you something. If I wouldn't have believed there was a God, Bobby, and if I wouldn't have known that, and I wasn't reaching out trying to seek him, I would have never got saved.
Right.
"He that cometh God must believe that he is."
Right.
He's a rewarder of them diligently seek him. So it's not enough to know that you believe that there's a God, because God, there is a God, but it's not that don't save you.
Right.
Just qualifies you to get saved.
Right.
Because until you know there is a God, The atheist can't get saved. You don't believe there's a God. Who's going to save you? The devil? Now watch. I want you to see this. But until you know Jesus as your very own personal Savior, you don't know God. I'm trying to work with, we're talking about Paul. How many are with me yet? Now turn with me on this, because I'm going to do about five scriptures. Look at John chapter 4. I'm going to show you some people that believe there was a God. But then they realized that Christ was what he really said he was, the true Savior, the Son of God, and got saved. Look at the woman at the well. In John 4:25, the woman at the well. Remember Jesus told her all about her life? He said, "That guy you're living with now is not your husband. You have had five husbands, but the guy you're with now, man," she said, "wow, holy mackerel, this guy's got my number." By the way, he's got all our numbers. He knows everything about it. The Bible says he knows every hair on my head. And if you don't have hair, he knows how many you lost. He knows how many was there. Notice verse 25. The woman said unto him, I'm in John chapter 4. Please turn to John if you can. Because I'm going to show you like five scriptures in the Gospel of John. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he's come, he will tell us all things. Look what Jesus said. He said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Hello? Ding-a-ling-a-ling. How many are with me? Here he is. And she got saved because if you look in verse 29, she went down and said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And she did trust him. Matter of fact, by her trust him, she went to the whole city came out to see Jesus. Whole city, one lady that was an adulterer and was living in fornication, God saves her. God don't care what you are, what you do. He's going to save you if you'll just come to him.
Amen.
And so, isn't God good?
Yes.
And this one lady, when she got face to face with Jesus, she realized who Christ was. She embraced him as Savior. Bam. That day she got to know who God was. Look at the next one, John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus fed all kinds of people. Remember that? 5,000 people. I just want to quote you what Jesus said in verse 48. 6:48, I am the bread of life. Remember in the Old Testament, Jesus sent down manna and fed the people? How many remember the story? Remember Moses? He sent down the manna and fed them because the Jewish people, they were hungry. He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. He said, but I'm the guy. Hey, I'm the man that's come down. Now if you take me, you'll never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. How many want to live forever? Well, then you get Jesus in your heart, and I guarantee you, you'll live forever. And I will give him my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. I'm so glad Christ gave his life for us. Amen? Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 57 and 58. This is a good one. Then said the Jews unto him, I'm in John 8, 57. Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Ha, you're not even 50 years old. You're telling us you know Abraham? Jesus said to him, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
Listen here, buckle. I made Abraham.
Yeah.
If you don't think they knew what he was saying, Miss Mert. He's saying, I'm God. If you don't think they didn't know. Look at verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. They knew Jesus. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the writings of Moses. First five books of the Bible were written by Moses. They called them the Pentateuchs. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And those first five books, they knew those books, the law. How many are with me? And boy, when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, boy. Man, that got their dandruff up. Who are you to say you're God? Well, I am God. You better get with it. You're going to miss out on the program. How many are still with me?
Amen.
Look at John chapter 9, a guy that was blind from birth. In John chapter 9, I showed this to the people. I don't have time today, but on Wednesday I showed that he first saw Jesus as a man. Then he saw him as a prophet. Then he really saw him as Lord. Three stages there in John chapter 9. But look at John 9:35. They cast this guy out of the synagogue. Even his mom and dad wouldn't stick up for him because they were too worried about being kicked out of church. You know, don't worry about church. Worry about Jesus. Too many people worry about religion. It's not religion that gets you to heaven. It's Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus heard, John 9:35. He heard that they had cast him out, this blind man that now could see because Jesus opened his eyes. By the way, he opens up everybody's eyes when they come to him. And when he was found... And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it's he that talketh with thee. Wow. Can you imagine standing next to him? Jesus says, I am him. I'm the one you need to believe on. I know you got religion. You've been going to this synagogue all your life. You've been hearing the priests and stuff, but they have, even Nicodemus, the priest, came to me in John chapter 3, and I told him he had to be born again. Look what he said in verse 38. He said, Lord, I believe. Amen. And he worshiped him. See, you got to, this man, look up here, you got to get this. Everyone you deal with, you got to get them to embrace Jesus. Don't try to get them to embrace the preacher. Don't try to get them to embrace the church. Don't try to get them to embrace something else. Get them to embrace Jesus. That's the key to heaven. Look at John chapter 10. Look at John chapter. I'm taking a lot of verses today, but I just think it's the Bible's so wonderful. Sometimes I'll just bring stories and preach to you, but today I got a lot of scripture in my heart. Look at, you can't go wrong with scripture, Tommy. Don't ever worry about scripture. Great preaching. The best preaching is scripture. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, before I got saved, Brother David, I did not know nothing about Jesus. The Bible, I didn't know nothing. See, until you can do all you want. Until you know Christ, your eyes are... I showed the people Wednesday. Corinthians 2:14 says they're spiritually discerned and they cannot know him. You can't even understand the things of God until you get God in you. Because the Holy Spirit has to teach you. You got to get the Holy... When I asked Christ into my heart, I got the Holy Spirit right then. Bam, he put him in there. See, the Holy Spirit's one that's the author of the Bible. Hey, look up here. You want to understand the Bible? Well, let the author who wrote it teach you. You get the Holy Spirit in you, he'll teach you. Amen? Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, Jesus said. How many want to live forever? I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. Aren't you glad about that? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And when I got Jesus, I got God the Father. And I got the Holy Spirit, because there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. I don't understand it, I just believe it. I don't listen, look up here, you got to get this. I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and give me white milk. But I love milk. Don't try to put God in the test tube. The Bible says it, I believe it. Thus saith the Lord. Listen, look at John chapter 20, verse 31. By the way, this is a theme verse of that whole book of John. This John 20, 31 is a theme verse. But these are written, I'm in John 20, 31. But these are written, all these things about Christ, how he raised the dead, how he healed the blind, how he made the lame to walk, he raised Lazarus from the grave, from being dead 4 days, how he fed the multitudes with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes, how he made the waves to stop and the wind to stop, all the great miracles that he did, one after another, all those wonderful things that you hear about Christ. Stop the funeral procession, the widow of Nain. Over there in the book, she had one son there, and he stopped, and he was. They were going to bury him. He was already in the coffin. Stopped it. Said, brought him back to life. Woo! This little girl died. 12. He took him and Peter and James and John in the room, the crying. He walked in and said, he brought the little girl back to Tabitha, back to life. Hallelujah. Man, Lazarus, 4 days being dead, he now stinketh. His sister said, Lazarus, come forth, John chapter 11. And he came forth, wrapped like a just. How many of you have ever seen a mummy? The day Jesus raised a mummy from the dead. And he was all wrapped. And he said, loose him. Because all those wrappings are representative of our sins. And see, they loosed him. They took all his, when Jesus saved his brother Mike, he took all my sins. He took all my sins away. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
Oh, isn't it exciting to know Jesus as your Savior? And all, look at that verse again. But these are written, all these great things that you hear about, all these stories of Christ. But these are written that you might believe. They're only written for one reason. For one reason. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. How many want to be eternal life? It's only found in one place. It's found in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I like how Dr. Brooke taught me this. He said, these are written for one reason. So after people hear about Christ and all the things that he did, that they can make a meditated, determined decision that Christ was truly the Son of God. And that by grabbing hold of him, they grab hold of eternal life. Just like the thief on the cross said, remember me. He made a decision. This man really is the Son of God. Remember the thief on the cross? One went to hell. He had a chance, but he turned. But the other one said, Lord, remember me. Jesus said, today thou shalt be in paradise. Even the centurion soldier, Andy, that was at the cross, that saw him, he stepped back and said, truly, this is the Son of God. See, every person has to come to that decision in their life. It's not enough to know about Jesus here. You've got to have him here. I know all about Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, all the press, but I never met them. I've seen pictures of them, but I've never personally met them. So you got to personally meet Jesus.
That's right. Yes,
see, that night over in Sherman Street, I personally invited Christ into my heart. I literally asked Jesus to come into my heart. Jesus, come down, save my soul from hell, and take me. By the way, until you get lost, you can't get saved. I knew I was going, Brother Mark, I knew I was going to hell. See, until you see yourself going to hell, you're still going there. You can't get saved until you know you're going to hell. What's he going to save you from?
That's right.
A lot of people say prayers. Prayers don't get you to heaven. It's seeing that see, you're devastated before God and that your soul's damned and going to be eternally destroyed, separated from him forever in the eternal lake of fire unless you take the Savior that God sent. That's what everyone has to see that. Isn't that wonderful? That God gives us opportunity to do that? Oh, listen, all these people realize who Jesus really was and they trust him as their personal Savior. And you know what? Make sure that you have. Now go back to Acts chapter 9, verse 6, and I'll try to do one thing. I had about six or seven, but we'll do one or two, okay? Wasn't that a good introduction? It really was. It wasn't, but it really was. You know, I just figured I'd preach to 12 o'clock, and then I'd stop, because I could preach forever. You can't say enough about Jesus. And I'll just pick up the next time somewhere and preach again, amen? Well, let's go back to verse 6 of Acts chapter 9. And I want to work on this one verse, one question that Paul asked God. By the way, it was Jesus, he asked it. He was asking God because he asked it to Jesus. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's a good question. By the way, I think we should ask that question. God, what do you want me to do? Have you ever asked that question? I want to challenge you. Christian, have you ever asked that question? God, what do you want me to do? You should. Because we should want to do his perfect will. Lord, what would you want me to do? Well, we know, number one, and I've already worked on this, we know that God wants all people to believe on his Son. That's number one. God, what do you want me to do? Well, one of the answers to the question, number one, he wants all people to be saved. What do you want me to do? Make sure you're saved. Lord, what do you want me to do? What would thou have me to do? Make sure you know me as Savior. I wrote this down in 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. God, our Savior. Who's the Savior of the world? Jesus. Who's God? Jesus. In sight of, the Bible says, listen to this. Don't turn to it. Let me just quote a scripture. I didn't have it planned. In John 1:1, it says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Then verse 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So this Word, capital W-R-D in John 1:1, He's a creator. Because it says the Word, and He was always with God, and He was always was. He made all things. And then it says in verse 14, and the Word, from John 1:1, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld Him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. It was Jesus. Jesus came down to us. And the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. God came down to man. Aren't you glad God came down to man? Well, in Timothy 2:3 and 4 says, 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. How many does God want to be saved? Everyone! That shoots down those elections, Brother Coolidge. That some people say, well, there's only certain people that can be saved. God's only going to let... No, God will say... the Bible says, whosoever will may come. Right. Who have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, who is the truth? What is the truth? Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Let me quote this to you. 2 Peter 3:9, one of my favorite verses. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. What does God promise? He promises everlasting life to those who put their faith in Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. So if God promises, how many want to live forever? How many want to go to heaven when they die? How many do not want to go to hell when they die? Okay? God has a promise, if you take Him as Savior, you don't have to go to hell and you go to heaven. That's pretty good. By the way, it costs something, but it's free to you and I. It costs Jesus His life. But He gives it to us for free. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. I'm glad He is. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, you got to realize you're a lost sinner. You got to realize. I remember the day Freddie got saved. He was saved. Remember a few years back, Freddie? Freddie had been in church, and the light came on that day. I remember he came out and said, man, preacher, I want to get saved. I've never been saved. Isn't that exciting, Freddie? Boy, that's exciting. And if it's never happened to you, you ought to do it today. I'm not talking about being a member of this church. I'm talking about being a member of God's family. You know, don't worry about this church. You just worry about being a member of God's family. That's the most important. I'm glad to have people, members. I mean, Jesus gave His life for the church. I'm not discounting the church, but no church can get you to heaven. It's all Jesus. So number one, God said, first of all, He wants all people to be saved. If you're here today, the most important thing you can do is be saved. We're asking the question today, God, what do you want me to do? Well, the first thing God would say to you, if you're here today and you're not saved, He'd say to you like He said to Paul, you need to be saved. Trust me as Savior. Amen? And now look at verse, are you still in Acts 9:6 with me? Look at those three key words. Paul said, Saul said, well, God changed his name to Paul, the great apostle. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then look, God gave a response. And Brian, I circled three words here. And the Lord said, I didn't see in verse 6, arise, I circled that, and go, I circled that, and unto the city, and it shall be told unto thee what thou must do. I circled that. There's three things that God said to Paul. I want you to rise, I want you to go, and I want you to do. You see those three things? That was the answer. Arise, go, and do. See, after you get saved, God wants us to rise up and count for Him. Listen, we're not saved to sit around and do nothing. We're supposed to make our life count for God. He made His life count for us. So, number one, what are we supposed to do? What was our life? Lord, be saved. Yeah, and rise, yeah. Then number two, after we're saved, God wants us to be baptized. After you trust Christ, your Savior, He wants you to be baptized. Not to get to heaven, but because you are going. It's an outward going profession of faith that you've trusted Christ. Just like Jesus died, that water is a picture of burial, baptism. You go underneath the water, that's the grave, and you come up in the newness of life. That's exactly what's going to happen. Amen? It's a picture of death, burial, and resurrection. And are you still in the book of Acts? Acts chapter 9, verse 18, you'll see Paul got baptized. He got saved in verse 6, and he got baptized in verse 18. And immediately there fell on his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight, and forthwith he arose. He arose! Hello, anybody home yet? And he was baptized. How many see that? Look up here. After you get saved, this is all basic, I know that. You can't beat basics. Even a soldier goes to basic training. And by the way, until they go to basic training, they're not fit to be a soldier. That basic training prepares them to be the soldier. After you get saved, then the first thing you should do is get baptized. And it's an obedience to what God says. And I don't really believe anybody can grow in grace until they get baptized, after they're saved. Now, a lot of people get baptized before they get saved. I don't care if you've been baptized 1,000 times. If you're not saved, the baptism means nothing. How many are still with me? And so, after you get saved, the first thing God wants you to do, God, what do you want me to do? I want you to be baptized. By the way, God's local church was given two ordinances. The first thing for a Christian after he gets saved is believer's baptism. The second thing is the Lord's Supper. Two ordinances that God gave the church. Believer's baptism, and I personally believe you ought to do those in order in my heart. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus started a church when he was here. Jesus is a founder of the local church. I believe that. Look up here, folks. You got to get this. I personally, you could say I'm wrong, but I personally believe he started and founded a fundamental Baptist church. I believe because of the Bible doctrine, what Jesus taught and what we teach. How many are still with me? And only that local church that God established, and it's transcended down to us today. It's come down the line, the chain. They have the authority to baptize. So you got to be baptized and by the right authority. How many are still with me? So God, what do you want? I want you to be saved. I want you to be baptized. Then look at number three. God wants us to be faithful in His church. Hebrews 10:5 says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves, as some do. Look up here. God, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, that Jesus loved His church and gave His life for it. And you preachers, listen to me. The church is really important. If Christ gave His life for the church, we need to give our life for it. Look up here. Don't discount the local church. The local church is what Christ... If it weren't for the local church, we would have never heard the Word of God. Amen? We're to be just like God was faithful to His church. We need His church. How many are with me yet? We need to be faithful to God's church. You know what? People, look, why are you doing this, preacher? Because people take church lightly. People say, oh, if I can fit it in, I'll go. I know there's times you can't go. I understand. You know, not everybody can make it every single service. But when my kids were growing up, Brother Bobby, they didn't have to come to me every week and say, Dad, are we going to church this week? They knew they were going to church. By the way, that before I was pastoring, they went every Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday night, Sunday school, visit day. They knew that. Hello? It's quiet in here right now. Uh-oh. I better move to the next point. I'm just saying this. Lord, what would you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, number one, I want you to be saved if you're not saved. Number two, once you're saved. Number three, I want you to serve him in the church that I gave my life for. Just like he laid down his life, we ought to serve God, give it all we got for the local church. Amen? Number four, what do you want me to do? God says, I want you to be conformed to his image. Look at Romans chapter 12. I'm going to close out. Romans chapter 12, and I'll close on this one. There's a lot more. Got a couple pages done, didn't I? Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what Jesus was. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we do it. It's only reasonable. Boy, sometimes we think, oh man, God ought to really appreciate me. You hot dog. You got mustard and ketchup and relish all over you. We ought to appreciate God for all he's done for us. Now look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to conform to my image. I want you to be more like me. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Kenny, the greatest thing for Kenny and you and me is to grow in grace. I'm watching I watch the kids grow up in this church. And I see them grow up. And I like their own daddy, I get a kick. I watch them grow and mature. I was looking at little Jimmy the other day, little Jimbo. I can remember when Jimmy was just born. I really can. And I said, wow. Boy, when Jimmy was first, little Jimmy Shell was just first born, man, they'd take him down the nursery and he'd, the little bottles and then the nooks or new news, whatever you call them, those little pacifiers and the diapers and everything. And I remember, they could, when he just first took his first steps, hey, preacher, watch Jimmy walk. Woo! Hey, preacher, look at Jimmy run. He can run now, buddy. I'm telling you right now, I can't get close to him. That kid's, he is fast. Remember our kids when they said the first word? Say, dada, 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 mama, mama. And the husband said, say, dada, dada, dada. And the mama said, say, mama, mama, mama. And everybody went to say, oh, God, please let her say mama first. I told Luke, if you say dad at first, grandpa, papa, say first, I'll give you $10. He said, papa, 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 papa. But we live on every word. We live on every step they take, right or wrong. And that's exactly how God feels about us. He lives on every step we take. He lives on every word we do for him. See, we're to grow in grace. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. That's why I'm trying to get you to read your Bible. The New Testament's easy reading, and I'm trying to get you to read that New Testament right now. You can do it. You still can do it. Even if you, Brother Mike, Cap, even if they didn't start, they could start today, and they could. I know they could do it if they'd apply. I'm coming, Martha. You might have to miss a couple hours of TV. You might have to sacrifice I love Lucy or someone that's on there. Whatever's on, I don't know what you watch on TV. And I'm going to sacrifice the Browns. Good sacrificing this year, isn't it? That's not too much to sacrifice, is it? Look up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right now I'm not watching no Indians at all. I've given them up for the season. Stay with me. How many are with me? Grow in grace. Oh, God wants us to grow. What, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to grow in grace. I want you to grow. I want you to learn. I want you to study. I want you to get involved in the work. I want you to come to church, because so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Did you know, and I'm all done, I'll quit. And by the way, I had another whole page here. Trust me, I did. You know I could. You don't have to tell you. Do you realize there's times I've been to church where I didn't feel like coming, but I came? How many ever been? And usually those are the times that you're blessed more than. Say, man, am I glad I came to church. That old metal guy pulled one out of his head today. It was God that did it for you. Because, see, he knows what we need. And sometimes when you miss the very thing that God wants you to hear. Let's be faithful. Let's be conformed to his image. Can we just close with one last verse? Let me put my glasses. We're talking about being conformed to his image. You know, someday we're going to be conformed to his image. Look at 1 John 2:2, and I promise. I'll stop. I don't want to stop, but I will. 1 John 2:2. I just get started, Annie, and I got to stop. I'm a slow starter, but I'm a strong finisher if I can ever finish. But I felt pretty good, Billy, because when I read the book of Acts, when I was reading through the New Testament, it says there, Ryan, and I think it's Acts chapter 20. I don't remember what verse. Around verse 19 somewhere. It says that Paul was long preaching. You got a preacher like Paul. He was long preaching. So he preached so long, the kid fell out of the window, broke his, fell down and got killed. Paul got brought back to life. I've never killed nobody in my preaching. First John 2:2. No, 3:2. 3:2. I'm talking about being conformed. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. See, when you're in Christ, you know a lot of things. That when he shall appear, and he's going to, we shall be like him. So right now, Billy, we got to strive to be all we can like him now. I know we never will, Brother Billy, not everything, but we can strive to try to be like him. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Oh, I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, and he's one of my favorites in the Bible, the Apostle Paul. Lord, what would thou have me to do? You ought to ask that question today. That's a great question to ask God. God, am I doing what you want? God, am I really in sync with you? God, am I in tune with you? Sometimes we're turned on, but we're not tuned in. Billy will get this. And I know Claire will get this because her husband was a TV repairman for years. And I promise I'll stop with this illustration. The kids won't understand this because all they know is satellite TV and cable. But when Preacher was a kid, first of all, the TVs were just black and white. And they were little pictures, but they were 500 pounds and they had about a 13-inch... How many seniors know what I'm talking about? Remember? John knows. Emma knows. And Rich knows. I know he knows. Rich knows. And those TVs, just big old tubes in them, and they'd get shaken, they'd get weak. And boy, we had those TV called rabbit ears.
Yeah.
You see when kids go like that, they're actually mimicking those little TV antennas that we used to put on. They're called rabbit ears. And the TVs used to, the little black and white TVs, they would go, they would move. They, or they, and you had to move that antenna. You had to move that antenna. One guy had to sacrifice from watching, so the other guys, and you had the aluminum foil on it to try to help it, remember? Oh, it's unreal. You kids got it made today. Code anglers, yes. And, but you see, you were turned on, but you weren't tuned in. And there's a lot of Christians today, they're turned on, but they're not tuned in. And see, Lord, what would you have me to do? See, he gets the horizontal and the vertical. Amen. To be right where it's supposed to be. And he says, hold it right there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. And dear God, I pray with all my heart. We would ask that question like the great Apostle Paul did. Lord, if he asked it, I think we ought to ask it. Lord, what would thou have me to do? And Father, I pray with all my heart. Today, if people are here, number one, if they've never been saved, I pray they'll hear the voice of heaven and Jesus say, come, come and be saved. I pray that more than anything. I pray light will come down like it did for Paul, and they'll see their need for a Savior to save their soul from hell. And then I pray for Christians that we would be conformed to what you'd want us to be, that we would walk with you circumspectly and walk with you to know you well and to serve you and to love you and make our life count for you. Before we go home today, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure. I know for sure I'm saved. I know there was a day when I saw myself a lost sinner going to hell. And preacher, I remember the day I was lost and going to hell. And I remember asking Christ to save my soul. And he is my Savior. You could raise and say, I'm positive I'm saved. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Thank you. You may put him down. How many would say, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. And by the way, I won't come to you. I promise you I won't. And I will not embarrass you. I promise. I give you my word. This is between you and God. You'd say, pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And preacher, would you pray for me? I'd sure like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not sure. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me that I would understand about Christ so I could be saved. Pray for me. Just raise your hand and put it back down. Pray for me. I like, yes, yes. God bless you. That took courage. God bless you both. God bless you. Who else? Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. Maybe you raised it. I didn't see it. It's a big auditorium, a lot of people. I saw at least two hands. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to miss out on heaven. Pray for me. Then lastly, Christian, are you tuned in? Are you being conformed to his image? Is there something that God wants you to do? Maybe he spoke to you about it. Is God speaking to you about something? Is he wanting you to do something? Are you being conformed to his image? Are you ready to take those first steps like Jimmy did down in the nursery or at home? Are you ready to make those first words for God? Say, preacher, there's something that God wants me to do. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes. 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 Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I see that. God bless you. I know there's something that, yes, ma'am, I see that. I know there's something that God wants me to do. Yes, I see that. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I see that hand. Yes, sir, I see that hand. Yes, ma'am, I see that. God bless you. God bless you. Father, help us to draw nigh to you. Help us to seek you while we may and while we can. And Father, I pray for those that there were, I saw at least two hands. There could be more. You know all the hearts of people. It doesn't matter about the hands. You know the hearts of all men. I pray that you'd reach down from heaven. And I pray people could be saved today. That salvation would come to them. And they would grab hold of eternal life through Jesus Christ. That they would forsake all the religion and all the teachings and they would, and all the traditions of men. And they would just grab hold of Jesus Christ. Pray for those that raised their hand. Pray for those that couldn't raise, maybe. And I pray for, Lord, there was many Christians on both sides of the building. There was something that you're speaking them to do. Help them to conform to your image. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.